So the need to connect with God has been proven by psychologists as being a critical part of development. It is a key to positive mental health well-being. It can grow with attention and be stunted with neglect. I was currently put onto a book called The Spiritual Child by Dr. Lisa Miller. So she defines spirituality as an inner sense of relationship to a higher power that is loving and guiding. And she's studying the need for spirituality and the innate spirituality in all of us. So spirituality, not religion, although religion can be a source of spirituality and often is a sense of close personal relationship to God and a vital source of daily guidance. So some statistics. A third of young adults aged 18 to 24, in the U.S. anyway, do not have an association with religion. And two-thirds of that age group feel that religion is losing its influence. Now, many parents in today's world have decided that spirituality is unimportant and often leave children to develop a spiritual identity of their own. But it's such a crucial step in their development. Spiritual development is the growth and progression of our inborn spirituality as one of our many perceptual and intellectual faculties. In other words, it's an instinct or a sense that affects how children grow and develop critical thinking. It plays a role in helping us feel a part of something bigger. Children need this spiritual development more than ever, as life has gotten more competitive with sports and schools and music and social media. They need to feel where they are in this world, and they need to see where they fit in this world. Now, looking at the bigger picture, we see that spirituality helps develop good morals, curiosity, excitement of learning, and a deep love and connection for others. Now, when a child reaches adolescence as a developmental stage, they become into an individuality state. And this is where they start separating from their parents and start finding their own individual self and where they fit in the world as themselves. This is a time for spiritual awakening for this group of adolescents. Their individual habits are being formed, and with so many influences in the world today, it's difficult for them, and they're getting lost. Now, many of us, the older generation, grew up with church because that was our culture. We got up on Sunday morning, we went to church, we put our dresses on, our suits on, we went to church, we went to Sunday school, we learned how to pray, we learned how to talk to God, we learned how to sing and worship God, and we learned how to be a part of a church family. We learned all of the rituals that go with it. We learned how to read the Bible. We learned what was expected of us with our relationship with God or Jesus. And as we entered adulthood, we learned what we should do, which was pray, volunteer, worship through song, or daily devotion. And we learned that God only wanted to see what good people we are. I would like to take a minute and share a video with you. It's very short. And just watch carefully and think about it. It's very deep.
Do you get it? It's an interrupting cow. He interrupts. That's what he does. He's a moo, right?
That is so dumb. It's a knock-knock joke.
Dumb. It's funny.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
What are you doing? It's me. It's Jesus.
Lord, we take up our cross every day for you.
Oh, thank you. But the cross is where it begins, not ends.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. It's all about you, Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Drew, I think it's great when you worship me.
Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes it feels like you're putting on a show.
Oh, Jesus, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
Okay, I forgive
you. Oh, praise you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Guys, just say what you would normally say.
Praise Alleluia.
No, I mean, like, you know, if we were talking, you know, say what you'd say. Okay, Drew, tell us a joke.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were before.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean that. What are you guys doing?
Jesus, we're living for you just like we always do.
Don't live for me, live in me. When you live in me, you'll understand who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper. But if this is all you want.
So the two in the video are clearly seeking a spiritual connection with Jesus. They really believe that they have a relationship with him. But what kind of relationship do they have? Jesus asks them not just to live for him, but to live in him. Do you know that that shows up over 70 times in the New Testament? Live in Jesus. So it's got to be important. But what does it mean? The scripture says, I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. And then it says that Jesus is God's great mystery, and we've been shown that mystery. And now science has proven that we need a relationship with a loving and guiding God. Now, further back in Colossians, in 1:15, it says, we look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. Jesus is the living God. His life is the physical embodiment of God. He is the God that we cannot see. God did this so that we could have a relationship with him. The relationship the pair had with Jesus in the video was awkward at best. It seems strange, very ritualistic, kind of like how many of us grew up with religion. How many times do we say the Lord's Prayer and actually know what we're saying? We just say it. Now, have any of you had friends like this? Ones where you don't really know what to say, it's kind of an awkward conversation, you feel like maybe you need to be someone else in front of them, or you've got a friend who likes to say, oh, you went to the market? I went to the market 3 times. Yeah, you cooked dinner? I cooked dinner 4 times. Yeah, I cooked 6 things for dinner. So, are these really friendships? Is it really a relationship? Would you call it a relationship? It's kind of an acquaintance or someone we know. It's not really someone we hang out with, usually when it's that type of superficial or, you know, masked relationship. Scripture says, you received Jesus, Christ Jesus, the Master, now live him. You are deeply rooted in him, you're well constructed upon him, and you know your way around the faith. You are deeply rooted, live him. Now, an intimate friendship is deeply rooted. You care for each other, you listen in good times, in bad times. When you're happy, when you're sad. You make your confessions to your friends about your misgivings, and they give and they trust you with theirs. And when they do, you love and accept them, and they love and accept you. We sang a couple songs about friends this morning. The first one says, when you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. And then the hymn today was written by a man in deep despair who's crying out to his friend Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Jesus is there for us. He took our sins away. He bared the burden for us. You won't get that from your everyday friendships. So why do we jump to this ritual and this masking relationship with Jesus? Friendship should be easy. So last evening, we had our Youth Ignite, and it was quite fabulous. Now, this Youth Ignite group started. It's our young adult group. It's advertised 15 to 35, but we've got a group. Sarah's going to laugh. we have this amazing group of young adults who've come to us as international students, and they came to us and they said, we want to make connections with more people in our age group, and we want to do fun things, and we want to have a youth group. Because in India, youth is what, 18 to 35. So we got this group together, and we've been trying a few different events, and last night we had 8 out, and we shared some soup together. We had three people that were, one had been here once before, but a couple of them have only been in the country for about a month. And so during dinner, we had a time of getting to know you. What are you taking in school? How long have you been here? How do you like it? Do you like the weather? Who likes the heat? Who doesn't? They would have left India in the heat of summer. It was like 44 degrees over there, I think, when they would have left. Then by the time they went for a walk after dinner, and by the time they got back, there was so much laughter and chatter, it was hard to follow the conversation. There was no double talk. There was no masking. There was no false fronts. There was no competition. This group showed us what friendship looks like. They were free. They were happy to be in each other's company, and they trusted each other with their time. The scripture says you don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. Jesus is right here, right now, in front of us, in us, and we in him. He does not double talk us. He doesn't give us false front. And the science has proven what the words in Paul's letters say, that the universe is empty without him. We need a sense of close personal relationship to God and a vital source of daily guidance. Jesus gives us this as a living God. At the end of the skit, Jesus asked for more, but the pair were hung up on ritual. Oh no, we can't let our arms down, we can't let our guard down, we can't let our mask off. Scripture also says the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. We should not give in to those. But Jesus finally gave in. He gave in to what they wanted and could put into that relationship. He stood in ritual with them, in those empty superstitions of spirit beings. He met them where they were at, and he offered them what they gave. A relationship is about give and take. It's what you put into it is what you get out of it. It's about relating. We read the Bible, the Gospels, and the letters from Paul, and all of the stories in the Bible to do just that, to relate to Jesus. That's why they're there. We relate to all he did in his life for us and for others. Now, Jesus didn't stop on his journey to worship the people he saw. He didn't stand on ritual in his work. In fact, he was the one who usually broke the ritual. Jesus, why are you eating in that person's house? And oh no, you must not work on the Sabbath. How many times do we read that Jesus has stepped out of the box? So he didn't stand on ritual, so why are we? Like the Ignite group last night, the familiar relationships were easier than the new ones. But I have no doubt that with nurture, that those friendships will grow. They'll be easier and they'll be fuller. And if we nurture our relationship with Jesus, we too can see the fuller life with Jesus. And Jesus will wait. He'll wait and he'll meet us where we're at. But if we nurture that relationship, it will grow. And we will truly know the fullness of Christ.